We got chaos at the White House as Karine Jean-Pierre loses control of the White House press briefing.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We will be taking your calls today at 1-800-684-3110. We got a packed show. Will Haynes is joining me in studio, executive producer, as well as a bit later, John Schneider, actor, musician, director, filmmaker. He'll be joining us. You know him from things like The Dukes of Hazzard, Smallville, but of course, The Masked Singer last year. You also know him from the Christmas movie we made, Jingle Smells, which is available, Christmas comedy. It's available at a discount right now on Rumble. Check that out at jinglesmells.movie, and you can get DVDs from John Schneider. He's going to talk about his brand new record that just came out. It's really great, Made in America. So he's going to be calling in a bit later. But we wanted to launch this show off with some of the chaos that broke out in the White House yesterday during the press conference. There was questioning. I guess we can lead up. We can start with that questioning of why a specific doctor, Dr. Kevin Kennard, a neurologist, why he was on the logs as showing up often. Obviously, this brought a lot of red flags to the room. Was this for President Biden? What was the answer to that? And instead of having an answer ready, chaos broke out because they knew this was coming. So let's start with a bit of the setup here.
It's a very basic, direct question.
Wait a second.
In regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
That much you should be able to answer by this point.
Wait, no. No, wait a minute. Ed, please. A little respect here, please. So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's three times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist three times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I am telling you that he has seen them three times. That is what I'm sharing with you, right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist. So that is answering that question.
No, it's not.
No, it is. It is. You're asking me.
Dr. Kevin Kennard, come to the White House.
But I also said to you, Ed, I also said to you, for security reasons, we cannot share names. We cannot share names.
Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists broadly, from a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons.
Yeah, so that was just the beginning. The conversation just started going. Again, we're not pointing any fingers here. We're just saying that the White House should have had better answers to these questions, knowing they were coming, and then it escalated.
That's right. And so what the entire story here is, over the holiday weekend, we saw reports, I believe the New York Times broke it, that a Parkinson's specialist that was at Walter Reed had visited the White House. At first, it seemed like it was one time, then more reporting over the weekend turned out that it was eight times in 8 months. So an average of once a month, this Parkinson's specialist is visiting the White House at a time where there's all this concern and talk about the president's mental fitness to continue on in this role or even to run for re-election. And so the press secretary had many days over the holiday to prepare a better answer than she started giving there. And the press, for once, you got to hand it to them, all sides, every press outlet was frustrated. And you'll hear that more in a bite we'll play when we come back.
I watched a bit from Jimmy Fallon last night because he was playing Joe Biden. And as he was playing Joe Biden, he said, "I've done what I said I was going to do. I was going to unite the party or unite the American people. The Democrats, Republicans, all united, say I should not be the president." That was a really funny moment. Again, now the gloves are for some reason off. We're going to play a bit of Jake Tapper as well. His kind of review of what happened to President Biden. I see through it a bit. I don't find it to be that compelling because it's a lot of things we've been saying and been told we couldn't say. Now all of a sudden they're allowed to say it and pretend that we haven't been saying these things for years. We're going to talk about that coming up. I want your thoughts as well. 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to ask you right now also, it is the middle of our Life at Liberty Drive. Be a part of it, but become today an ACLJ champion. That is someone that gives to the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis. It's really easy. Just go to aclj.org/champions. Do that. You become a monthly recurring donor. We'll be right back. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. When you hear these kind of comments coming in from the White House, when you hear the chaos that's erupting, and let's play that now. Let's get there. So if you are joining us right now, you may have heard our setup here. Well, maybe give them we'll give them a brief setup to what this is going to, they're about to hear.
So over the weekend, over the holiday weekend, the New York Times reported that a renowned Parkinson's expert had visited the White House. At first, it was just one time they had found based off of White House visitor logs. And then as they dug more over the weekend, they had a lot of time to do so. They found that it had been 8 times in 8 months at least. And then the White House press secretary had the entire holiday weekend to prepare for this, to come up with how they're going to frame this, how they're going to talk about this, and give an answer to reporters. But in reality, a statement they released before her press briefing to reporters was obtuse at best. It didn't really give answers. And then they went on the offensive. The reporters went on the offensive saying, listen, you guys claim to be the most transparent administration in history. These are public records. Why are you basically hiding the ball and not giving us direct answers? Did this person, did this doctor go to evaluate or treat the president? And in what you'll hear now is after several answers, one of which we played in the previous segment, the frustration building, not just with one single reporter, not just Peter Ducey getting frustrated at the way that they're handling this, but a lot of them from all sorts of outlets. Let's go ahead and play bite two.
I understand that. Ed, I hear you. I cannot from here confirm any of that because we have to keep their privacy. I think they would appreciate that too. We have to give them.
At the doctor.
We have to keep their privacy.
It's public information. I hear you. Guys, hold on a second.
There's no reason to get back and go back and forth and be in this aggressive way.
We missed around here about how information's been shared with the press corps
about
here.
What do you missed about? And then every time I come back and I answer the question that you guys asked.
Correctly,
you
didn't have to come back and clean it up.
I never answered the question incorrectly. That is not true. I was asked about a medical exam. I was asked about a physical. That was in the line of question that I answered. And I said, no, he did not have a medical exam. And I still stand by that. Matter of fact, the president still stands by that. He had a verbal check-in. That is something that the president has a couple times a week.
Now in regards to Dr. Kevin Kennard.
And I am telling you right now that I am not sharing confirming names from here. It is a security reasons. I am not going to do that, Ed. It doesn't matter how hard you push me. It doesn't matter how angry you get with me. I'm not going to confirm a name. It doesn't matter if it's even in the log. I am not going to do that from here. That is not something I am going to do. What I can share with you is that the president has seen a neurologist for his physical 3 times. 3 times.
Yeah, so that is obviously a statement coming out, but not even a statement, just chaos. And Will, when you look at this, like you said, they knew this was coming.
Right.
This was not a gotcha moment. This was a question that has been asked. And obviously, you're having mounting conversations that are happening in the press. You're having it in reality. I believe half the conversations I'm having with just my friends, people are talking about whether President Biden will run, should run, is running. That seems to be a constant 24-hour news cycle of this. And when these moments happen, it does feel like there is more unsettled more of an unsettling feeling happening in the White House than ever before.
Well, and just hours after the press conference, the White House doctor released a statement about the reason that doctor had visited the White House. So was able to give a lot more information. It was about meeting with veterans and others, that it was a special clinic that would be run out of the White House. Whether or not that's reality is one thing. But what it tells you is they could have told you. Right. And they released that later. Why didn't they do that before the press conference and save face? Instead, the White House press secretary is doing more damage to the campaign and the office of the presidency by not being prepared in a situation like that. But that journalist that was pushing her so hard, that she kept saying, Ed, that was Ed O'Keefe from CBS News. That right. isn't an Ed at Fox News. That isn't an Ed at Newsmax. That is an Ed from the White House correspondent from CBS News was very frustrated with the way that the White House was handling this. And you have to also look at what else is happening on Capitol Hill today. And that is that Democrats had a caucus meeting, so all Democrats in the House, about President Joe Biden's political standing. And what happened is reporters were waiting. It was a top secret meeting. No reporters were allowed inside. But they were questioning members of the House as they left this meeting. And Jake Sherman from Punch Bowl News reported that one House Democrat who is very supportive of Biden told me, quote, "It felt like a funeral."
Yeah.
Inside there. And one of our producers pointed out, was that a funeral for Joe Biden or was it a funeral for the Democrat Party?
Not for that or because for the campaign.
Exactly.
Did you say for what source was that?
Punchable News. So Jake Sherman used to be with Politico and others.
Are you saying Punchable or Punchbowl?
Punchbowl. Okay. Like at a party.
I like Punchable. Punchable I think that's news. A better, that is how I feel about most
Most people would probably agree with that statement.
If
more.
That domain is available.
Yeah,
then
Logan's signing up. Brand new news outlet, Punchable News.
Yeah. It is crazy. And I think that when people hear that, they see that you know, it feels like a funeral. They're hearing these statements. But then you have that letter that came out yesterday for President Biden, which really doubles down, digs his heels in, saying, I am going to be your nominee. You voted for me. It's what's going to happen. We had one caller that called in yesterday who said specifically, I'm still supporting the president, even though I know he is diminished.
Yeah.
And when you hear that, you go, okay, I know there will be probably, look, 48% of the country that will probably vote that way. They're going to vote for whoever the Democrat is on the ticket. If you can get them motivated to get out there. And I think the problem is they have right now is the obvious choices to replace President Biden become a big headache.
Right.
Because I don't know if they're ready for the backlash or ready for just a deal with President Trump in sense of like, if you're a Michelle Obama, do you really want to go head to head with President Trump right now? I think there's a good chance, by the way, if it is a Michelle Obama, you do activate a base. You potentially do win. Or she could wait 4 years when it is a completely fresh new group of people mm-hmm. likely and come out and maybe have a potential landslide. Or is she just going, I don't want to do this. And then you have the Kamala Harris situation where she clearly has kind of put herself out there where if Biden is out, she's presumptive.
Well, and also because the money, it's a lot easier for all the money they've raised, hundreds of millions of dollars to move it because it's effectively still the campaign at that point. But one other thing to point out is that out of this meeting, one member of Congress told Jake Sherman, there is no consensus on Biden. So within House Democrats, elected Democrats, there is no consensus on Biden on whether he should remain at the top of the ticket or not. So now you have a situation where the president in campaigning is having to campaign to elected Democrats and donors, not the American people. So they're in a really chaotic, topsy-turvy situation that we've never seen before in our lifetime. And if he can't build consensus among the party, the elected officials that are supposed to be supporting him almost unanimously, then how is he going to turn that and continue to campaign? And it looks like there's no way he is leaving. He has dug his heels in. The longer this draws out and the quieter Trump stays on this, that's one reason why I think he hasn't announced the vice presidential pick yet. Because why break up this news cycle? Let it run for as long as possible because they clearly are in disarray. It is chaotic. They're doing their best impressions of House Republicans right now that never can seem to unify. And it's all over whether the current sitting president should remain their party leader.
Yeah, he's up for the job. I think this is a pivotal time because you look at the situation at hand and you look at the details that are coming in. And I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime where, like you said, the party really revolts against their own leader in this way. Like I said, you'd think this would have been maybe what happened after President Trump's loss and all the chaos that came after that. But no, you saw actually the exact opposite. You saw a rallying, maybe to the point where you're like, wow, this is kind of aggressive for a former president. But now you have on the other side a want to push back. And I really do believe this is Washington, D.C. Nothing is done as clear as you think it is. So do I think there's a way for President Biden to probably get out of this? Oh, yeah. I think there are plenty of great strategists right now trying to figure out all the different options they have to get him to drop out. I think it's happening. The conversations are happening. I would bet money on it because this isn't as simple as one guy going, I want to do this or not doing it. This is a machine that's behind it. These are big donors who are saying, I'm not going to fund anymore if you are the nominee. When that starts happening, pressure starts mounting. And there are ways, look, I'm not saying that you can figure out ways financially to take care of the president. I don't know how that would all work, but this is Washington, D.C. It is the swamp. It is the dirtiest of the dirty. If they want something done and the people that are really in control want it done, they can. Now, in a weird way, you have a President Biden who is in his 80s, who has spent his entire life trying to become the president, finally got it. Sure, he's not going to go away quietly into the night. I don't think that is how that was ever going to happen unless there was some sort of real, and not to say there hasn't been, but a real medical emergency, something that is that really knocks him out of contention because he physically can't do it. We're going to keep this conversation going. Next segment, though, we're going to be joined by our friend, John Schneider. We're going to talk about his new album, Made in America. We also are going to talk about Jingle Smells, our Christmas movie, which is on sale right now, the Christmas in July sale. But we are at a pivotal moment in history, and it's more important than ever to become an ACLJ supporter. Help us defend life and liberty. That's why we have launched the Life and Liberty Drive, where your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. That means there's someone ready to match it on the other end. Right now, we just submitted a major filing to defend Israel at the International Criminal Court. We're filing a FOIA lawsuit against the Biden administration over its abandonment of Israel. And we're going to talk about some big wins that have come out of our fight for Israel and for Jewish students and Jewish professors. Please donate today. Keep us fighting. Keep us in that fight. There's never-ending attacks, it feels like, on our freedoms. We can't do it without you. Go to ACLJ.org, become an ACLJ champion. Be right back. Welcome back to Secular. Logan Secular here, Will Hay, executive producer. We are joined by my friend, someone we've worked with for a number of years on a number of different projects, John Schneider. I'm very excited to have you back, John. Obviously, we're coming off of Christmas. We did a movie together, Jingle Smells, which is available right now, by the way. You get the DVDs from your store. If you go to jinglesmells.movie, it'll take you all the different options, and there's some streaming Christmas in July sales happening right now on Rumble. But we are excited to have you on today because you also have a brand new record. I'm a big music fan. Maybe some of you watched a little something called The Masked Singer last year, and you saw who made it to the finals, the donut himself. I live in an interesting world, John, where, and I'm sure you feel the same way, my kids love The Masked Singer. We watch it every season, and I run in a circle of friends, it seems like, where every season we know personally one or two of the people that are on. It is my favorite thing because my kids are like guessing, and then all of a sudden they're like, wait a second. That's our friend. And they show up. And John, it was awesome to see you on there. But you got a brand new record, Made in America, a deeply patriotic celebration. And also, I think you put it, and maybe you can elaborate on this, you put kind of a challenge to Americans.
Yeah, it's a celebration of America. It's a reminder to those who have been, I don't think this is a word, but just reminded these last 3 years,
yep,
that we are indeed the greatest country in the history of the planet. And we have an obligation to keep it that way. And that's the third part of the record. It's a call to action. You know, you can't just sit on a fence and wait for other people to take care of this problem. It's too deep. It's too wide. It's all of our collective problems, and it's up to us. There's a song on there called, basically, This Is One War We Ain't Winning on Our Own. It's up to us to fix it. You know, and it's really not politics at this point. No. It's a matter of survival. It's a matter of barbarism versus our constitutional republic.
Yeah,
it's insane that it's gotten this out of hand intentionally. That's the real sad part.
Yeah, I feel the same way, John. I've been listening to your record, and there's even songs like I Want to Thank You, which is to the Gold Star families. And when you have situations where, even in the debate last week, you had President Biden saying, you know, no soldiers were lost during my administration. Of course, we can all go back to that Afghanistan withdrawal and what happened there. But there are people out there that are still suffering, that are dealing with this, and you are wanting to celebrate them and to thank them for what they've done. Or even just as a country music fan, you know, as I am, there's a song, you know, We Got to Save Our Country, which again is kind of a bit of a play because it's obviously about our country, but it's also about sort of the state of country music, and it's somewhat the state of, heck, you'd say the entertainment industry, if you will.
Country. Well, yeah, but it's the state of our country too. Yeah, you know, yeah. one is the bridge. Yeah, basically, like both America and a country song, bleed, yeah, red, white, and blue. So that's one of those challenging songs to people saying, you know, come on. Join the party. It's gone. Long gone is the time where you can just sit on the fence and wait for the problem to fix itself. You know, we've kind of seen what happens when the problem, right, is in the wrong hands. You know, look at our southern border. Look at the way that homeless veterans are treated. Look at the way illegal aliens are treated. Try to make some sense out of that. Try to find justice in there. You can't do it. So we've got to do it. Come November, all the way down the ticket. This is not just about whoever versus President Trump. This is about every Democrat down ticket, I believe, and I would be willing to err on the side of caution here, folks. It makes sense that every Democrat on every ticket is in favor of the country as we see it right now.
Yeah.
So if you're in favor of the country as you see it right now, then God bless you. Vote the way you're going to vote. But if you want to change it, you've got to vote conservative. You've got to vote Republican. This is the first time I've ever gone out and said, look, you've got to vote Republican.
Yeah, I think people see that. And I think they see even right now, and whether you agree with John or not, or wherever you stand politically, I think when you have a Democratic Party, this doesn't have to do with your album, but obviously these conversations always happen, John, when you're on. And I'll bring it up to Will. When you have a party that is itself panicking,
right?
We've heard about that the whole top part of the show. They're panicking right now. They're panicking because people like John are going, yeah, we can't leave things the same way. And it's just the wildest time to watch what's happening in this political season as people are waking up.
And John, you talked a lot about sitting on the fence and that it's not a time to do that. And we are blessed in this country with God-given rights. And we have a constitution that lays those out. And you said about this album, the number one reason you made the album is to exercise my First Amendment right to freedom of speech. How important is it to you that we have these freedoms, but if we're not exercising them, what good are they?
Well, yeah, it's like a muscle. You don't exercise it, it's going to atrophy. And we've seen since COVID what happened when we gave up what we thought was just a little bit of our rights, the right to gather peace, the right of peaceful assembly, the right to decide whether or not I wanted to have a shot. I never took it. And there are people who will never speak to me, even though the government themselves say, well, you know, the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting it. It doesn't keep you from giving it. So, you know, it's really not a vaccine, but they've yet to say they're sorry. So, yeah, I think we have one of the lyrics in She's Worth It is it's a duty, it's a right, an obligation. We've got to stand up for our Constitution. Otherwise, it's just going to go away. We've seen so many of our freedoms go away in these last couple of years. And it's an atrocity. So I wanted to thank people for their sacrifice. Sorry, I was just jogging because it is Christmas in July, you know.
I know.
I want to thank our Gold Star families for their sacrifice. I wanted to remind people about this great country. I wanted to poke a little fun at some folks. There's a song on there called You Can't Stand Out by Fitting In. And that's to my country music buddies who and gals who feel they need to fit in an existing box in order to be different. And I'm kind of arguing the logic against that.
Yeah.
Well, and I've got two great poems. You know, I've got America, Why I Love Her on there. And also a wonderful little poem called The Hyphen, which is about the hyphen can be a bridge between two ideas or it can be a wall that you have to climb. But ultimately, a hyphenated American is a divided American.
John, this is why I really love your projects. I think people need to take a look, whether it's your movies or whether it's your records or whatever it is, even just your social media feed, because you don't fit in that box. You're someone that can equally do The Masked Singer or Dancing with the Stars and then flop over and do this country music record and then have poetry in it, because you are really one of those true artists who is expressing themselves how they feel, not just in that box. And one, I want to thank you for that. But in that moment, I want to encourage people to go pick up your new record, Made in America. Now, it is an interesting time for the music industry. So do you want people to stream it? How do you want people to ingest Made in America?
Well, go to my Facebook page. It's just called John Schneider. You'll see me, you'll see We the People behind me. That's my backdrop. And I'll put different ways to get to it right there because, like, you know, the music industry is in a state of flux right now.
Right.
I'd like to say just go to Spotify, but it's supposed to be there, and they haven't uploaded it yet.
Yeah, so it's just a weird time. But we'll make sure we post that as well as I get updated, John. Just get us your links, we'll put it. I also encourage people, we only got 30 seconds. Our Christmas movie, John, is available right now. It is Christmas in July. Jingle Smells is out. It is on sale. You can pick up DVDs from your store. JohnSchneiderStudios.com. It is a hilarious, fun movie. It's a great one to watch in the summer. I just watched it. I hadn't watched it since Christmas. I just watched it and really enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun making it. Great cast. Really a blast. It is available, right, like I said, on John Schneider Studios. Or just go to jinglesmells.movie. You'll see the link. It's also available at a discount right now to stream it on Rumble. We'll be right back. Thanks, John.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. We just had on John Schneider, someone who I wish we could spend more time with. Just a great guy and a good friend. He has a brand new album. I want you to go take a look at that, Made in America. But also, I'm going to plug this real quick because I didn't have a ton of time to do it. It's Christmas in July. We have our film, Jingle Smells, which is a Christmas comedy with a lot of heart, a lot of great messages, a lot of the messages you would agree with. If you like this show, you'll like what's in there. It has an incredible cast, whether that's John Schneider or Ben Davies. You've got Victoria Jackson and Jim Brewer from SNL. Just a great lineup that's in that movie. I had a blast making it. One of the co-writers, it was written by Bart Scott, and one of our, here, Will's in the movie. Everyone kind of makes a cameo or an appearance. I'm in the very first scene. I don't have a line, but you can find me, spot me, look for me. But take a look at it. It's at jinglesmells.movie, and it's available right now on Rumble at a discount. You can pick up the DVDs from John, but on Rumble, it is available, which is our favorite free speech platform, at 50% off through the month of July, so only $9.99. We appreciate them. Phone lines are open also for your questions or comments. 1-800-684-3110. We have been talking about the Biden administration and the chaos that's erupting, but coming up in the next segment, we are going to move a little bit to what's happening in Israel. We have some ACLJ wins, and we also have some maybe victories from just public opinion, where we have seen some shift happen, where some Columbia professors, you may have seen it, some deans, some of their texts got leaked. We're going to discuss that in the next segment of what was in those and the reaction, and then, of course, a few weeks later, what happened to them. So we're going to discuss that as well. And then towards the end of the show, I want to take all the calls we can. So this is a great time to call in, line up, get ready. We're going to hear from you. We've heard from great people like John Schneider. We're going to hear from Jeff Balaban in our ACLJ Jerusalem office. You've heard from Will and I. You've heard from Corinne Jean-Pierre today, and so many more. And you now get the final word, which I like. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching right now, also, I would encourage you right now, if you're watching on Rumble or you're watching on YouTube and you're brand new, we know about 50% of the audience that sees us on YouTube every day is brand new. They may never have seen us before. We're going to encourage you to hit that subscribe button. Be a part of this family. Every day we do this broadcast and we put up content all day, every day, and hit that thumbs up. That really helps as well. Because right now, this short show doesn't exist. There's not advertised revenue other than, you know, occasionally you'll get a YouTube ad and that kind of thing. But the show does not function without the support of ACLJ donors. And we are right now, what are we, July 9th?
That's right.
Almost halfway through our Life and Liberty Drive. You need to be a part of it right now. Your donations are doubled. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is make a donation. Obviously, if you do donate today, it is matched. But one of the big things I want to push right now is to become a ACLJ champion. That is someone who says, I'm going to support the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis. You've heard about the incredible work that we're doing. You're going to hear more. My brother is traveling right now. He's going to be back with so much breaking news and all the amazing work the ACLJ is doing. We are on the front lines of this. Go listen to our conversations we had with Harry Hutchinson yesterday. Go listen to our conversations we've had with some of our great attorneys. And if you need help as well, you want to be a supporter of the ACLJ because we want to be there when you need help. So we can't do that without you either. We can't have just not the show is very important. We love doing it every day. We couldn't do it without your support. Couldn't have the best production team in the business without it. But we also couldn't do this incredible legal work because all of that is done at no cost to the client. So if you want to have representation, make sure that we're there for you as long as it's within our scope. Not only can you go to aclj.org/help at any time and submit, but make sure by creating that baseline. And we can't have that baseline without ACLJ champions. Those are, again, people that say, I want to support this organization on a monthly recurring basis. If you are an ACLJ champion already, I want to say thank you. Put that comment in. If you make a one-time gift on top of that champion, you get that doubled as well right now. So do that. Go to aclj.org/champions. And again, it's all part of our Life and Liberty Drive. These are the big months because these are the months we can unlock these matching gifts. And if you're able, again, become that champion. You've heard about the work we're doing. And the next segment, you're really going to hear about some of the incredible work we're doing in support of Israel and support of the Jewish people against the fight against anti-Semitism that feels like it needs to happen over and over and over to make sure we actually have people educated of what's going on. ACLJ.org. Be right back. to Secular. We are joined by Jeff Balaban, who runs our ACLJ office in Jerusalem. He's in New York right now, joining us live because we have some really interesting developments. There's a lot of talk right now still, you know, 9+ months out of the October 7th attack that happened, and of course the war that has been prolonged and keeps going in Israel right now against Hamas. But the fight on the college campuses, though we're in the summer months, it seems like maybe it's calmed down. Things have quieted because their students aren't back. But look, they'll be back in just a few weeks. But then we saw what happened in Paris. We saw what happened in the UK, where these almost pro-Palestinian riots start happening and occurring. But here in our own country, this is pretty interesting. And the news kind of broke a week or so ago, maybe a little longer.
It was about 6 days ago.
About a week ago, that there were texts that were leaked from deans at Columbia. Again, not that shocking, that not only were not just pro-Palestinian or even pro-Hamas, these were deans using anti-Semitic tropes continually in a laughing, disturbing way. These texts had statements, I'm going to find some of them right here. Amazing what money can do. If only every identity community had this sort of resources and support. Hard to hear the woe is me. We need to huddle at the craft center. Ha ha. Try to be open-minded to understand, but the doors are closing. There was one here.
He said they're laying the case to expand their physical space on campus. They soon will have their own dorm.
Yeah. I'm going to throw up. There's one point where a Holocaust survivor said that they had some concerns. And of course they were like, oh, how dare they? And this is what happened. Thankfully, Jeff, there is some justice in the world, and at least some of them, maybe not everybody, but some of them had to pay the consequences for these actions.
Well, it's not quite justice yet, yeah. Logan. The truth is that they're still using weasel words at Columbia. There were four deans implicated here, and we have been directly in touch with other members of Columbia faculty for a while now because the situation there has been terrible for a while. And those quotes you read are taking place while there's a hearing to discuss the problem of anti-Semitism on the Columbia campus, which is brutal, which is horrific. Jewish students are afraid to walk the campus. It's going on now for years, honestly. But obviously, since October 7th, it's gotten worse and worse. They're afraid to walk the campus wearing a yarmulke to show they're Jewish or a Jewish star or to anything of their identity, because they're afraid not just of abuse by faculty and students, but potential physical attacks. So they're laughing and mocking at a hearing describing the problems. So someone took a shot. They had their phone of the texts and shared it with the Free Beacon, which publicized it. Meanwhile, there were four deans implicated. They're using all kinds of weasel words, Logan, but only three of them have been reassigned, haven't even been fired as far as we could tell.
Gotcha.
They've lost their current positions, but they're still keeping their jobs. We don't know what their jobs are going to be yet. And the fourth, who's responsible for all of them, is a guy named Joseph Soret, O-R-E-T-T. He seems to be keeping his job altogether, and he's just as bad as the rest, and they report to him. So, and more than that, you know, this is whack-a-mole. This happened to come about because somebody happened to see them mocking the Jewish students and mocking the people testifying. But this is an institutional endemic problem at many universities, and especially deeply at Columbia University. From the top down is a deep, corrupt rot. And that's why we see the students feel free and outside agitators feel free to use the Columbia campus as a place to camp out and call for genocide against the Jews, because this whole institution has been corrupted.
Well, and Jeff, that was kind of the point I was going to get at, is that when we watched in the spring the encampment and how out of control it was on campus at Columbia, there was many people that were casual observers, maybe not as knowledgeable about how bad the problem is at these elite universities. They were like, why is the administration letting this continue? Why is it taking so long for them to ask for help from the NYPD? And I think when you get texts like this, that's the answer. You understand fully that it's not because they didn't want to look like they were squelching free speech, but because the faculty and the administration actually believe in the cause of the protesters and encampment.
Well, that's such an important point. By the way, the president of the university, Dr. Shafiq, she testified in Congress. She was another disaster who couldn't really bring herself to just condemn anti-Semitism. Stop. You know what I mean? She had to, all kinds of hedging, and she wasn't sure. Another disastrous, because all of these are DEI hires. All of these come under this notion of diversity, equity, inclusion, which is just a fancy, nice euphemism for racism, hatred, and anti-Semitism. And they've been hired precisely because they go along with this party line. And that's what they're teaching these kids. These kids go to these elite institutions. They're not being taught Western civilization. They're not being taught science and math and art and history in any way that we would recognize from a generation ago. They're being taught this mentality that you judge people based on their identity. And of all the people in the world, the ones you need to hate the most are the Jewish people. And by the way, almost as much hate Christians as well.
Jeff, in some good news, we at the ACLJ have been fighting the scourge of anti-Semitism and the hatred on college campuses. You're very instrumental in that work as well. You even mentioned that we've been in contact with people at Columbia. But we actually have a victory we can announce, which is for a Jewish professor at the University of Maryland. So not a place you're necessarily going to hear about as often in the news when it comes to this subject. But this case even predates the new springing up of anti-Semitism on campus that's been so public. We've been fighting this for a long time. Can you talk a little bit about what we've been able to achieve for Professor Landa at the University of Maryland?
Sure. Well, first of all, people need to know that University of Maryland actually has one of the largest populations of Jewish students in the nation. It's a very large population. I'm not sure if it's the largest or Florida's the largest in terms of its student body. And this problem, of course, is deep there as well. And Professor Landa, we've been working with her for years, and the university has been pushing back against her. She decided that she was proud of her heritage and she's proud of her identity, and she wasn't going to be shy about it. She didn't say anything remotely offensive to anybody. But because she was evident that she was Jewish and that she supported Israel, the university started punishing her. And so she appealed to the university, and the university ignored her, so she came to us for help. And thankfully today, we were able to announce that we scored a victory. The university finally, only because ACLJ actually went after them trying to just stonewall, a settlement for Professor Landa. Now, she's moved on. She has no interest in going back to the University of Maryland, but there's been a financial settlement. The university is forced to pay because of the institutionalized anti-Semitism that she felt. And as you say, well, this goes years before this was national public news after October 7th. This has been something we've been in the trenches on for decades, honestly. And this problem's been growing in years, and she's a perfect example. Sometimes, you know, the wheels of justice may take a very long time to grind, but once in a while, we'll end up with a solid result like this after years of effort that really make the case that these people have to be held accountable.
Absolutely. And that's why the ACLJ is here. And I want to make sure everyone knows that. Right now, we are in that middle of the Life and Liberty Drive. When you hear conversations with people like Jeff, you know the important work that we're doing here. Like he said, we were doing this well before it became, I guess you'd say, unfortunately popular to be fighting against anti-Semitism in America and against anti-Semitism in the university system before it was well known that this was happening. And we're getting victories. Okay, there are a lot of organizations that are out there fighting, but a lot of them aren't winning. Let's just be honest. A lot of them aren't winning. We are here and we are winning. So I want to encourage you right now during the Life and Liberty Drive, where all donations are matched right now, be a part of it. Support Israel. Support the Jewish people. And as Jeff said, they're not just looking at Jewish people. Again, when you start using words like Zionist and those kind of things, you are just saying anyone who specifically doesn't believe, and really those who believe who are either practicing or not, by the way, Jewish people, and of course Christians. So you're all looped into this as well, likely, as if you're not even a part of those communities, you are still not their favorite. We can't be there without your support. So go to aclj.org. Your donations are doubled. So right now, do it. You hear the important work the ACLJ is doing and become a monthly ACLJ champion. That is someone that donates on a regular recurring basis. You set it, and all of a sudden, you can cancel at any time, of course. But yeah, first one is going to be matched. So that's part of our Life and Liberty Drive. And then, of course, your donation will continue on from there. And we really could use more. We have 21,000 strong, but we'd love to make that even more and even louder. Let us be your voice as loud as we can, and let us be there for you. If you're one of these professors, if you're any of these people that are going to need support, we want to be there for you at the ACLJ. So go to ACLJ.org now. I do want to encourage you, in this next segment, you're going to hear from, to pivot a bit back to politics, you're going to hear from Jake Tapper. You're going to hear from CNN as they have now started their assault on President Biden and saying that he is unfit for the job. How do you feel about that? As someone who maybe has been saying that for the last 4 years, and certainly someone who's saying it for the last year, to now know that the liberal media is now allowed to say what we've all known was true. And you were all told you couldn't say. But now you're going to hear from Jake Tapper to the point where even I'm like, dude, chill out. Like, he goes a bit far, even for me. I'm like, I understood a bit what Biden said. You're acting like he's saying stuff that's insane. I mean, you're going to really want to hear these clips. But I want you to call in right now because I want your opinion on this. 1-800-684-3110. We got 5 lines open, people. So if you've ever wanted to be on the air, this is the time. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. We got one line open still. That's what happened. 1-800-684-3110. Because you guys have been calling in when you heard that. Let's start off. You're going to hear from Jake Tapper. Again, this is not Sean Hannity. This is not someone on the Fox News channel or on Newsmax or, you know, any of our other friends. This is coming from Jake Tapper at CNN as he has begun his kind of onslaught saying that President Biden is unfit for office. Take a listen.
In reality, 72% of voters say that they believe President Biden is too old. That's according to CNN's most recent polling. Voters have been saying this for quite a long time. The reality is that the Democratic elites are mostly late to acknowledge these age and ability issues compared to the rest of the public. The elites have been forced to reckon with it after the debate just 11 days ago.
Look at my career. I've not had many of those nights. It was a terrible night. And I really regret it happened. But the fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea, I'm too old.
The fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be out on, you know, on your way to go, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea that I'm too old. Keep in mind, that soundbite is supposed to be reassuring to those Democratic supporters who have gone wobbly.
That was from Jake Tapper from CNN, calling out President Biden as he, I believe he was calling into Morning Joe.
That's right.
And trying to kind of calm everyone's nerves, as he said. Now, there's part of me that goes good for Jake Tapper because he's speaking his mind. He's finally able to say it. But where was this guy? Where was CNN when this was all happening for the last few years? They were calling it cheap fakes.
Right.
They were throwing out all of this rhetoric at us that we were seeing things that were untrue, that we were following into conservative conspiracy theories. But so yes, while there is part of me that is happy to see that there is some honesty in journalism left, I am very concerned when you have to do it only when there's a catastrophe and only when it feels like it's been instructed. When all of a sudden it's okay for you to say he should not be running for president anymore. When it feels like that's become the okay talking point. And it all happened in one moment about a week ago. Okay. Less than a week or more than a week ago at the debate. This is a long story, by the way. Will brought that up. This has lasted. This has continued to get worse for President Biden. It has not smoothed out. It hasn't calmed down. Every day it feels like it gets more and more chaotic. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Elizabeth, who's calling on line one. Elizabeth, watching on YouTube, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about just the recent Biden coverage, just like what you guys were just talking about. It just really seems to me that the media is coming around. And
We dropped it. She said the media is coming around. She did like that. I'm sorry. I hate that you got cut off. Because she had some really good statements there, was saying that she liked it. I do think there's part of me that's split on it.
Well, here's the concern, though, as you brought up. When the Wall Street Journal ran their article on June 4th, behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping. And it had quotes from people that were inner circle and near him that were talking about some of the concerns they were seeing. Every media outlet went on the offensive, trashing them as a tabloid. I can't believe the Wall Street Journal. They have no more journalistic integrity. This is ridiculous. But then everyone sees the debate, and then the New York Times is free to post a headline like this: Biden's lapses are said to be becoming increasingly common and worrisome. Because now that's the approved narrative from the liberal elite that control the narrative.
What was the AP headline? It was like, he's sharp and articulate, but sometimes forgetful and slow.
Yes,
yes. Like, we'd find the exact words because it was hilarious. It felt like a parody. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Anne in Pennsylvania on line five. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. Do they think we're stupid, honestly? And you kind of stole my thunder, guys. I love you. But yeah, so we've been saying for so long that Biden has been tripping, you know, up the stairs, over himself, tripping on his words. There's the left media denying that the videos exist. The night of the debate, I noticed, the very night they started turning on him, and I can't help but think this is all part of the planning operation of theirs.
It felt very strategic, Anne. I said that night. The fact that you cut back to that CNN panel and not one person on the panel defended President Biden and said, well, this is a bad night. Everyone, you had Van Jones, you had that whole group saying, oh, no, he's got to do what's best for the country and step down. It did feel very intentional, and that's why I'm not buying this. That's why I'm not in favor of this. Sure, this sounds nice that they're actually reporting what's happening, but where were you multiple years ago? Where were you 3 months ago? Where were you a week and a half ago when all of this was happening? You were telling us what we were seeing with our eyes was a lie. And that is what's happening. This was the AP headline. Biden at 81, often sharp and focused, but sometimes confused and forgetful. They actually added often. The first version of it did not have often.
It just said sharp and
focused. It just said sharp and focused, but sometimes confused and forgetful. Again, feels like parody world, or maybe it is a world of clowns. So you know what? Send in those clowns. Let's go ahead and take another call. Benjamin's calling in Maryland on line two. Benjamin, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for the call. I wanted to know, who do you think they're going to bring in, Big Mike or Gavin Newsom? Because there's no way they're going to run with them in November. Absolutely no way. Unless they want to get, you know, completely crushed. And there's no amount of impropriety that can bring them out of it this time.
Well, so the biggest problem with someone like Gavin Newsom would be that fundraising they've already done. I mean, in the second quarter alone, they raised $271 million. Now, that was about $70 million less than the Republicans raised. But you have to have that war chest going into November to be able to afford your campaign. Someone starting at zero, having no fundraising, isn't going to necessarily just be able to get that transferred over. It's going to be chaotic at the convention because there's going to be multiple people vying for that if that's the path they take. Now, you know that there are many Democrats that are party elites that are still pushing for that. And the fact that you saw that out of that House meeting, that there's no consensus, means that there's a reason this story is still the top of the headlines. It's a reason that 2 weeks after the debate, it's still the daily lead on every news outlet and every newspaper in the country, because that story's not going away. And as of right now, neither is President Biden. So it would have to most likely be to be able to keep the fundraising, Kamala Harris, the vice president, stepping in there. But as some members of the House said today, it would be setting her up for failure by doing the switcheroo at the last
minute. She's incredible. She's, as much as people may support her or not, she's incredibly unpopular.
Right.
And I think that is a testament. We need to make sure, by the way, when you're picking your vice presidential candidates, that you know, especially when you have presidents, and look at President Trump as well, approaching 80, that you are picking a vice president that could lead this country, that you are confident in. We have seen with Harris over and over that the American people simply just don't seem confident in her. You may think she's very smart. You may think she's articulate. Whatever you may think, doesn't matter. We've seen the polling numbers. We've seen the way people treat her. And she becomes a bit of a punchline to a joke, whether you like that or not. That's just the truth. So when President Trump is out there kind of teasing right now who is going to be his vice presidential running mate, I hope they are thinking to the future and not just in this moment, because that person very likely could be president, specifically because President Trump can only serve one term. Listen, that is going to do it for our broadcast day. Sorry, Shane and Helen, we weren't able to get to you today. Call us back tomorrow. We'll try to get you up a little earlier. Sorry about that. Hey, I want to tell you, though, last 30 seconds of the broadcast, become an ACLJ champion. Put in the comments right now if you're watching on YouTube that you are a champion, that you're standing with us. I'll read each and every one of those because I appreciate it. Do it right now. We are going to fight and continue, whether that's for Israel, whether that is for our country, whether that is for Christian beliefs and values, we are there for you. Go to ACLJ.org, become an ACLJ champion directly by going to ACLJ.org/champions. And all donations, whether it's a one-time donation or not, If it's a one-time donation, that's totally fine. But all donations are matched only for this month of July during our Life and Liberty Drive. Talk to you tomorrow.